Do you ever get so immersed into a movie you forget it's a movie? Well, part of that is the visual storytelling, but the other half of that is something you probably don't even think about, and that's sound design. On the next Region Nerd Alert, we talk about our favorite sound design in movies, video games, and other media. Come nerd out with Region Nerd Alert every Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And welcome, everyone.
Hello there.
What's up?
I feel like I shouldn't say everyone unless there's more than three. I don't know. It feels weird. I mean, technically, we are collectively an everyone, but I don't know.
We include the listeners, so everyone.
Yeah.
You know what? That's great. Hello, listeners. This is Region Nerd Alert, and you're listening on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, unless you're streaming it online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, or you're a cool kid and you use Spotify or Apple Podcasts, because that is also what we're on.
What's that app we're on?
I think the NPR One app.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. It was like a self thing. Like, I didn't even have to mention anything about it. NPR One app is also available. And I download the NPR One app if you like the news, because it is very great. I'm Jose Rodriguez, and you are listening to Region Nerd Alert. And to my left, we have...
Oh, Thick Boy, 3Cs, 3Is, Facebook, not Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Singularity Photography. Follow that, please.
There we go, bam. And to his left, we have...
Skyler, a.k.a. Olatho. Just find me on Bandcamp at Olatho Von Allier.
Bandcamp. And you're on SoundCloud as well, right?
SoundCloud, yep. Olatho.
Nice, nice. And Twitter?
You got a Twitter? And Twitter. Officially, OVA is my Twitter handle.
There you go.
Follow me.
Follow this man on Twitter, because you've also been doing some collabs on there, I've seen.
Yeah, I've been trying to spread my wings.
Pretty great, pretty great, pretty great. So, a few big announcements. One huge announcement. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
I beat Death Stranding.
What?
Wonderful.
After months and months of not beating it, I can finally move on to another game.
And I beat The Last of Us 2.
There we go. There we go. Look at
very
all
nice.
That. Look at all
ooh,
that.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Man, yours is a lot more impressive because that just came out. And I've been playing for like so many months and just procrastinating.
November, I think, was Death Stranding.
I need to have a compilation of just Region Nerd Alert. Every time I mention I'm playing Death Stranding.
Episode 1, 7, 8.
Gosh. But yeah, we beat a few games. And how was Last of Us 2?
It was good. If I had to give it like a numerical rating, I'd say about an 8 out of 10. I can't really talk about what I want to talk about because of spoilers.
Right.
But some of the positives kind of go with today's episode.
Okay.
So I'll kind
cool.
of save those for when we actually get into it.
Awesome.
But it was good. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Cool. So is it worth the buy? Like if I were to buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything. It's a good game. Just
okay.
say that. Just
cool.
leave it there.
All right, there we go, there we go. Well, yeah, we've been playing some video games, and as you said about Last of Us 2, it sort of ties in with the overlying theme, which you've heard from the intro, which is we're going to appreciate some great sound design and talk about exactly what sound design is. Not exactly, but, you know, just a little beginner thing, beginner course. So maybe
something for you to pick up on at home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I guess let's get underway from the beginning. Richard Design, also called
yes.
Richard Sound, he invented sound designs.
From what I understand, he invented sound. Period.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah. About it. Before him, it was just
good old Dick Design, Richard Design,
old Dick Design. But anyways, yeah. So basically, sound design. How do I want to do this? What I always explain to people is in film and video games, even commercials, you always see what's on the screen, and that's one aspect, but you always think, oh, you know, maybe that's, you know, a little aspect, but no, sound incorporates, I think if not more, exactly half of everything that you're consuming.
You don't notice good sound design. That's
right.
That's a problem. You only notice bad sound design.
Exactly.
One of the more recent examples I've seen is it's some commercial that keeps popping up on YouTube, but it's a girl that gets out of bed from her alarm clock, jumps up, gets at her desk, starts flipping through pages, and you hear everything. You hear her putting on her sweater, sitting in the chair, shuffling through the pages, and that is a very good example of sound design, because you see her going through stuff, but you're not, if you just saw it, you wouldn't experience it, what she's going through.
Right. Yeah. You definitely, you want to be immersed in whatever environment, whatever universe that the media is trying to create. And basically every other than like, you know, TikTok videos and stuff, like everything that you consume that looks semi-professionally done, the sound is done afterwards. Like it's, take films like blockbusters and stuff. Like I think like 90% of the sound you hear is done
Foley.
After the fact.
Yeah, if it's not dialogue or a soundtrack, it is a Foley artist behind the scenes, somebody who you'll never see.
Right, right. And I'm selling it a little short. It's probably more than 90%, but from the slightest tap on the glass to someone's talking and they even like put her there, you know, and you hear like a union of hands, like all of that is done after the fact.
Yeah. Foley artists will have different styles of gravel, different like surfaces to walk on with different styles of shoes, whether the floor is wet or not. Like it's a Foley artist. It's a really complex job.
Right. I usually ask others for their expertise, but in college I actually studied a lot of audio production and I took a lot of sound design classes. And one of those, the squares that in the studio, I forgot what it's called, but it's basically on the top layer, it's like grass. And the next layer, they have like a hardwood floor. Mm-hmm. Next is gravel. And they have it inside a studio. Like things you wouldn't even imagine inside a studio. I've seen studios with like a running waterfall, but it wasn't just like for the like reception area. Like it was mic'd up.
Yep.
So they can have different sounds involving running water. If that's throwing a rock in, that's throwing a wooden block in, it creates different sonic elements that these people are artists. Like
my favorite is breaking sounds. Like they'll take chunks of celery and just take it up to the mic and twist it and break it.
Those are my favorite ASMRs. Just breaking things. But Foley. Foley is definitely, they call it Foley art. It is definitely an art. The creator of that is Jack Foley, and that is real. It was named after him.
No more joke names.
For films and movies. But another aspect of sound design is diegetic and non-diegetic. And Mike, or would you guys like to, or Skylar, would you like to explain a little bit what each is?
What?
I forgot.
Mozart is good. I'm like, diegetic. What is it?
Sweat.
Yeah. Oh God.
No. Only reason I thought you told me about it. That's why
that wasn't me.
I swear, Skylar, you told me.
Oh my
about
God.
It. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the
Let
spot.
Let me tell you about some great Foley, though.
Let me
tell you about some great Foley.
Okay.
And I guess this is. Let me guess. Non-diegetic sound.
So, okay.
Let me tell you. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. But basically, the movie A Quiet Place. The monster in there is basically an echolocation hunter, so it is a sound hunter.
Mm.
So it clicks like a bat.
Oh, that's the movie with the guy from The Office, right?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
So the sound that they made for the echolocation that they have is the sound of tasing grapes. Literally?
Really?
Using a protective taser and tasing a group of grapes, that's the sound.
Wow,
That's
kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There's a few of them. Actually, I have a couple here listed. We'll talk about it in a second. But Star Wars, seismic charge. No, the seismic charge in I think it was Episode 2. It was one of Jango Fett's like offensive weapons. The sound is so cool. And the guy who made the sound keeps it super close to his chest how he made it. So it is, it's this hiss, pause, bwah.
Seismic charges. Stand by.
And it's just like this crazy bass like tone with a bunch of.
By the way, this whole episode is us recreating sounds.
It's with our mouth. More than likely.
In hindsight, I should have maybe had some queued up, but I know exactly what you mean.
It's
now.
It's so cool. It's so punchy. And somebody interviewed him, and he goes, "I got to have a couple secrets." So like nobody really knows how he made that sound.
That's really awesome.
Yeah,
but yeah, we definitely have a lot to say about Star Wars alone because sound design from every single movie is just fantastic. But The Quiet Place, I absolutely love that sound design. When I first seen it, like I was blown away.
Like, that's like 75-80% of the movie though, is because
right.
There's sign language. They use sign language the whole film,
and that's the thing too. Like. The lack of sound, there's still sound to it. Whatever movie
you hear
that,
so much, but it's not dialogue.
Right,
you hear
right.
the environment.
Now, this goes back to the diegetic versus non-diegetic. Diegetic is everything implied on the screen. So if I rustle papers or if I tap glass or if I'm speaking or if you hear a car sound, that's all diegetic because that is in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And non-diegetic is basically like narrator's commentary, sound effects, things for the listener, things for the consumer of the media, more so than the characters on the screen. So that also includes dramatic effect music or mm-hmm. during
string stabs.
Oh yeah, during jump scares.
I hate that.
I wrote this down today.
Mm-hmm.
A good example of that is in Dunkirk. Now,
what is that?
Dunkirk is about
it's a
movie.
Historical film, right?
Yeah, it's a historical film about these soldiers trying to get off this island. Like the whole movie takes place with these soldiers all trying to get off this island.
Mm.
But the soundtrack uses what's called a shepherd tone,
mm-hmm.
which is three tones separated by an octave, and the highest octave will get quieter and quieter. The middle octave will stay loud, and then the lower octave will get louder and louder. So what it does is it's constantly building tension because it's like a scale that goes forever.
I was gonna say, is that infinite scale
yep.
thing? That's I've heard
yep.
that before. Yeah, it's called the shepherd's tone.
Yeah,
you said?
It's called a shepherd's tone. A lot of movies use it.
Oh,
a lot of movies use it to build tension.
I think I've heard loops of that where there's no way you can tell like. The peak
yep.
or where it started and just the constant feeling of rising.
Another example of that is the, what's it called? The Bat Bike in Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight.
Really?
When Batman's going through the tunnels in his motorcycle, that is using a shepherd's tone.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. I'll have to rewatch that. But yeah, I guess we can go back to Star Wars mm-hmm. real quick. one of my favorite sounds in any movie has to be the pod racers from episode one.
Yep.
Yes.
Like I think that whole scene is just sound design genius. Like how do you create not only an imaginary vehicle, but the sound an imaginary vehicle makes? Like this, I mean, I'm sure today someone recreated it, but at the time, like, how do you recreate the sounds yeah. of something that's amazing? It always blows my, and I feel like that's where like the true art of sound design comes in. Cause like, I'm going to do it now. Like the way they were just passing each other. Like that is so cool.
Yeah, dude,
it's perfect.
Thank you.
So another cool thing about Star Wars is how they made the lightsaber sounds.
I got oh, yeah.
up right here.
Yep, dude, the guy who made the original lightsaber sound said he, I can't remember how he came up with the idea to turn on the lightsaber, but the actual movement of a lightsaber, he was saying that he noticed that he'd take a microphone and run it past his TV and it'd make a humming sound.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just... And you just keep it there, like keep the hum,
mm-hmm.
and that's how you got the lightsaber sound.
Wow. Isn't there a tuba involved in the lightsaber? Wait, what were we going to say?
I Googled it right here. It says the lightsaber sound effect was developed by sound designer Ben Burtt as a combination of the hum of an idling interlock motor of an aged movie projector and the interference caused by a television sweeped by a microphone without a shield.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And that was all back in the, what, 70s?
70s.
Yeah, yeah. It was back in the 70s. Like, there was no digital. Like, they had to come up with all this stuff, like,
out of the blue. Like, it's insane. Like, you said 1970. Like,
yeah.
To create such sci-fi sounds back then without computers seems almost like impossible to people nowadays.
And the thought of tasing a grape. Who thinks of that?
Yeah.
Like, I want the exact sound. Like, how many fruits did they go through?
They did say that they were like, we knew the taser was a catalyst in the factory, like, so we just started tasing a bunch of stuff and we landed on the grapes.
Oh my God, that is amazing. But yeah, from the lightsaber sounds, and another science fiction thing that always stuck in my mind was the sound design for Halo, like the video game.
Yeah.
Like all of the there's so many imaginary weapons in that, like the plasma rifle, the plasma pistol, the needler, like all of these weapons have such unique sounds.
The sound of those energy weapons overloading.
Mm-hmm. And,
oh, so good.
And the thing I love about the Halo, like, video game sounds, mm-hmm. as opposed to like film sounds, like, you know the direction of like everything involving like film. Like, you know, okay, this gun has to be shot from the right side coming towards like a certain angle, and it has to be yay loud. But for video games, you have to make so many different adjustments and assign it to different actions in the game. Like, for example, like if you're shooting a pistol, like point blank, it's going to be right in your face and it's going to be right there and it's going to be loud.
Full volume.
But if it's coming from the right, and the thing is with online play, it's so important that you get the sound.
You need the omnidirection.
Exactly. And a lot of that. It comes from just assigning it to different things of code. Man, I'm sure if we had Leo on, he could tell us more about that.
All right, like locators for sound cues.
Right.
Battlefield 1, have you guys played that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game is unreal when it comes to the sounds of war. Like, it's rough, especially when you got like a good pair of headphones.
The level design, too. There was, like, some online desert map that I was playing on, and then, like, a thunderstorm rolled in this desert.
Mm.
It was beautiful. I was like, what is happening here?
I think I played, I think it was the beta, because that's when I first played Battlefield 1. And, oh, my goodness, like, I've never personally been in war,
mm-hmm.
but with headphones on and everyone screaming and the loudness of everything and shells hitting, like, the snow, like, oh my gosh.
It's intense.
I had nightmares about that, to be honest. Like, I had a nightmare where, I was in somewhere.
In the trenches?
In the trenches. I'm like, there's no way I could have lived that, you know?
Just going back to The Last of Us 2, that's one thing that I, like, really appreciated in that game is the sound design. One thing in particular, something you're going to be doing a lot in that game when/if you pick it up,
mm-hmm.
is breaking glass. Like, to get into a building, you know, doors locked. Okay, I'm going to shatter this window. It is so satisfying to break windows in that game.
Really?
Especially when you're up close and you, like, hit it with, a machete or something.
Mm-hmm.
It not only is it have that, like, piercing of shattering glass, it's got just a little bit of bass behind it. So it feels like you're shattering a huge window.
Mm. I was going to say, that is something, like, especially in video games and films too, like when you hear glass shatter, it's very like when you're immersed in the story, like you don't notice it, but real life glass shattering, like
all your
hairs stand up and you're,
it
was, what happened?
It was funny because I was scrolling through Twitter and one of the Foley artists for the game actually, like, one of his posts blew up because somebody was saying, oh, how are you enjoying The Last of Us 2? Plastic noodle make noise. And it was somebody constantly going back and forth through the plastic dangling things that you'd see in, like, a grocery store or something.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those things had its own, like, really plasticky sound. And the guy's like, oh my God, somebody noticed.
Wow.
And it blew up. And it was the coolest thing ever.
Because
it's like, it's such a minute thing, but somebody, like, took the time out of their day to recognize, like, this thing is, like, sounds really cool.
Man.
And it made that guy's entire day.
I know The Last of Us 1, walking through different environments was, like, so crisp, and the way it faded, it wasn't just, like, grass into, like hardness. Yeah. Like they actually,
there was like a transition of like the wetness coming off your shoes almost to where like it went from a wetter to drier sense.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was. This isn't spoilers. It's just kind of like a setting spot. Like when you get into a place with a lot of infected in that game, it's real nasty because everything's like caked in this nasty fungus that spreads spores. And when you're walking over the fungus, you can actually hear like, it sounds like it's hard to describe, but if you can imagine, instead of poofing, like if you imagine stepping on a big mushroom, that's what it would sound like. Mm. And then once you got off of it, you'd be on regular floor. Wow. Like it's such a subtle difference.
I was going to say the consistency of mushrooms are so like unique because like they sort of like crumble.
Sponge but brittle.
Yeah, sponge but brittle, exactly.
It's exactly what it was. Like it was just like a slight crackling with a soft footstep, and then you go to a hardwood floor and then you just be back on it.
Dang.
So, real quick, guys, each one of you individually, I'll start with Mike first.
Okay.
Try and think, what is your favorite, one of your favorite sounds in life that you've heard? I'll start. The sound of a light bulb breaking.
That's a good one.
Because it makes a shatter, but it's a popping, and it hits such a nice tone. It's one of my favorite sounds.
I thought you said, my favorite sound is... but that is a very good one.
I like the sound of a... This is very specific. The sound of a teacup-like cup or a mug falling and just slightly breaking. Like, just not shattering, just like a chip coming off of it.
Hmm.
Like, that's a weirdly satisfying sound.
I was going to say, I don't know how... I don't think I've ever slightly shattered or slightly broke a mug. It's either all or nothing.
Like, yeah, it's a... Yeah, my house is a mug death trap. They don't last in my house.
I will say... I can't think of my favorite right now, but a sound that haunts me to this day.
Oh, no.
Mike, you were there. When I got into my car accident, it's like it could be a part of the feeling, too, because of the impact going through the car into you, like you feel it, too. But the sound of an actual car that you're inside crashing against like a rail and completely crashing is just completely jarring and not what I would think it sounds like. It's like not film.
You know, now that you mention it, films don't ever really get it right. Like films and games don't ever really get it right because it's either like that real deep like belly.
Because isn't it kind of hollow when it's like when a crash happens, it's impactful and
it's
super
it's
serious.
The loudest hollow sound,
but it's hollow.
It's weird, yeah. But it's not that crash, I guess, climax you want. It's just
it's not metal on metal. It's weird.
You can just hear damage, and that's about
yeah.
it.
I mean, it's true. Like it's true. Your car was also a tank, though.
It was a pretty big tank like of a car.
Like your car was a tank essentially.
What was my car again?
Mercury Grand Marquis.
That's what it is. cars and sports. I have no idea. but yeah, that sound always stuck with me. Another aspect of sound, I guess, is music. And I know a pretty famous composer, John Williams. Mm-hmm. Great composer. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't really have a point to make, but that was my transition into music.
I mean, I'll listen to anything Danny Elfman puts out.
I was about to say, Danny Elfman is one of my go-to composers.
Oh,
so yeah.
Definitely.
Anything he puts out.
Hail the Lydian Scale.
Now you want to explain that a little bit?
The Lydian Scale. That is different from a chromatic or other scale, and is...
it is not this.
I don't know music
this.
Theory.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I just keep coming to you. but I want to mention music can definitely tie in to movies. For example, horror movies, the music is very important. Very important if depending on the horror movie, especially if you're relying on jump scares, but also if you're not relying on jump scares.
So when I think of horrible scoring, to like take me completely out of a movie, think of
pornography.
It's all bass, but there's a. It's one of the Scream movies, Scream 1 or 2, but Dewey's theme is so pathetic. And just takes me out of the movie completely, where it's like, I literally hate this piece of music. And it makes me feel bad.
Is it sort
bad.
Of like light and innocent?
It is. It's bubbly and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this dude's like a sheriff, and I understand he's supposed to be like, oh, I can blend into any situation because I'm stupid.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it was a little too far. And also in one of the Halloween movies, I believe it was Halloween 4, there was a cop duo, and they literally played like clown sounds when they were interacting with each other, like honk, honk,
when
one of them touched the other one, and like stupid sound effects like that. And it was just like, we understand they're trying to, like, they're moronic or a little idiotic, but God, we're not that stupid as a consumer where you got a clown noise.
Bro, you said clowns, and I immediately thought of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I have not seen that movie.
You guys have not seen that movie. Well, I know what we're doing this weekend.
but before you get into that, just to go off of that, music is also an extremely important aspect of movies, film, video, all media, basically, because like you said, it took you out of the movie because the music didn't
fit.
It's got
to set the tone. Like,
right. And another thing that I can think of is Kid Cudi. Have you seen the music video Pursuit of Happiness?
Not the music video. I know the song, obviously. But.
So it's exactly the same song. Like, obviously, like Kid Cudi's Pursuit of Happiness. I hope that's the name. But anyways, he released two music videos of it. One, club scene, very light colors. Like, it's sort of more of the visual, but it shows how the same piece of sound or music can be completely two
put
content.
Him in two moods,
right? And one was like, I'm in the pursuit of happiness, and then they were partying and drinking and laughing and having a good time. And then the other music video was him it's him falling into a couch over and over again, and him doing the same thing every day, like, I'm in the pursuit of, exactly same song,
yep,
but completely different moods.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that sound can either make or break, like, a movie is definitely true, because clown noise is completely, takes you out of the
right.
Like, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just ridiculous is what it is. It's all.
Yeah. I was going to say the Aliens franchise.
Mm.
Especially Alien 1.
Dude, the sound of the gun in Aliens, the sound of the colonists' machine gun is one of the coolest gun sounds
of Gundam. It is a real unique sound. I was thinking like there's real subtle use of sound and soundtrack with Aliens, because Aliens, the whole setting is outer space, you know, you hear your scream, blah, 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 you're being hunted by like the apex predator, and they use the score in such a way, like, they don't play it often. When they do, it really accentuates the horror aspect of it. Otherwise, you're with these guys, and all you hear is their footsteps, their breathing.
The bleeping of the motion sensor thing. Like, that sound design, too, with that constant, like, empty just bloop, bloop, like, almost like a heart rate monitor. And then you get that, like, anomaly that pops up, and it's like, oh! The tone has changed.
Yeah.
Mm.
And because the tone's changed, you know something is there, and you know that that thing is the alien, and it sets so much tension for you just by the change of that tone.
Yeah, a lack of sound or a lack of soundtrack can almost be as effective or more effective in certain ways than just having like just a generic thing.
The rest in like composers' music is brilliant. Like, people would literally harp on, well, our harp sounds negative for some reason, but would literally appreciate like Beethoven and Tchaikovsky, because like all of their like wheedlies and stuff, but the rest are like so important in composing music. And I feel like that's the same way in composing like art or sound design as well.
Think of like The Lighthouse. Remember when the full silence finally hit?
Yep. Oh, that. I completely forgot.
And you realize that there's been noise the whole time.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You don't notice it.
That was one of my favorite moments in sound design history. Like, I had from the beginning of the movie, constant environmental sounds in the background.
Constant.
And then once it flipped and right. then everything was truly
vacuum
silent.
Vacuum chamber.
Oh, my God.
To set the mood for the lighthouse, in case you haven't seen it, the whole time they're living on a lighthouse, on a just an island, in the middle of nowhere, and you're constantly hearing the birds, you're constantly hearing
the crash of the waves.
Mm-hmm. At this point, there's a storm.
The wind, yep, everything.
And speaking of the sound design for that movie, inside the lighthouse, like the way they make the waves and the birds from the inside.
Right, it's like muffled, but still, oh man,
it's so unique.
Good.
Like, yeah, it's like compared to other movies, like, oh, it's just whatever. Oh, Jennifer Lopez and Made in Manhattan, like generic bird sounds. But
yeah.
This, it's like everything is, I don't know, grustled and very dingy.
Honestly, like, it's probably one of like the weirdest reactions like I've ever had in film when the sound went silent fully, like, because it's not like a scary thing that it's silent, but it's just like a, like, you don't,
your hair stands up on
end. I didn't know like what to think, you know. It was like, oh, what does this mean? But just the change, it was so beautiful, but evoked a reaction out of me.
Oh.
An unknown reaction, but it was impactful.
Oh yeah, like the hair on my arm stood up. Like, it was just like that sudden realization, like, it's never been this quiet until you hear the quiet.
I did not even realize until that happened. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's genius.
Like, it almost felt like clarity, but at the same time insanity, because it was like, you're not hearing the sounds anymore that have been like consuming you this whole time, but why did you spill your beans?
Oh yeah. It's just that over and over. It's like, what's going on now? It's like the next level.
Yeah.
Like, truly turning insane. Another scene that brings to mind, I always get this wrong. It's one of those Conjuring films. It's either Conjuring or Conjuring 2.
The one with the elevator? I think it was Annabelle.
Annabelle.
I think it was
That's
Annabelle.
What it was, where she was in the basement, and then she's running from something, and she goes in the elevator, and then the elevator.
All the way to the basement.
The elevator closes, and then it opens back up to, like, what
darkness.
She's running from, and just darkness, and then it closes again. You're like, thank God. Then it opens on the same floor, and I think it does it like two or three times, and each time
you just have to sit there.
It's because you. When I'm not a big fan of jump scares, but if you there is a way to like make a jump scare, like the anticipation before it,
you got
to
have
perfect.
The tension.
The tension.
If you have no tension, there's
no tension.
I hate jump scares.
If you just have the monster fly in your face, like, you're angry.
Flash
after
in the
that.
Pan, right?
But if you see the monster after that much anticipation, you're like, ooh, I'm running away. Oh my goodness. You know, like, and you're actually wanting her to get away.
And
it
makes the reaction so much more impactful, too, because you have that. You're also tense with the character.
Yeah,
you're freaking out, too.
You're immersed in the world.
Right.
Like, I mean, take Mike, you know, the PT. When I played it at your house, the sound design of PT is insane as well.
That game was nuts because there's no soundtrack to that game. All you hear is just the background noise. You hear bugs crawling around. You hear the radio constantly going. You hear
just natural sounds of the house.
Yeah, just the house just
the creaks
settling.
Of the floor. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I'm so sad that I never got my Silent Hills, but just the hyper realisticness of the game paired with the hyper realistic sound of like a good, not even a good pair of headphones. Just if you have a decent pair of headphones, that game, the sound design will make up for it.
One of the things that really sets you, that sets the mood in that game is you're being chased by ghosts, basically. It's a constant loop through the house, through this one hallway. And when you're playing it, if you got a decent set of headphones on, you can constantly hear breathing behind you.
Mm.
Constantly. And you turn around, nothing's there. And it's the creepiest thing ever, because you just slightly hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Just behind you.
And it's the cracking of bones when she's coming at you.
Oh my God.
You know what got me, though, in that game was the radio. Because the radio announcer is talking about, like, this like, crime that happened, this real violent crime. And then it cuts away. Like, you hear static and hear, look behind you. I said, look behind you. And I was like, nope. I was like, nope. I'm going to keep going forward.
Scream and trudge on.
But it was just that, and it only happens once. It only happens, look behind you.
I completely forgot about that part.
It was rough, man.
But they know how to do a good jump scare.
Yeah.
Like, off topic a little bit, just the double jump scare is just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's like she comes at you and you're like, whoa, that was crazy jump scare. And then, oh, man, you're still reacting to it. And you're like, that was crazy. And then she comes the second time, fiercer and louder.
Yep. Yeah, that was great because they gave you just enough time to start coming down.
Exactly.
They gave you just enough time.
But speaking of...
do your throat sound.
What? Oh, well... But yeah, we'll get to that. But Inception. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie in a while, but that was another one when I really thought the sound design of that was insane. Because Inception, as you know, like you go into this dream state as opposed to, you know, the real world. And the real world sound design for this, I remember like studying it. Like I think it was I in college? I don't know, time is a construct. But anyways, I remember looking into the sound design for it, and the real life is such the most dullest, mundane sound. Like, when they're in the topest level, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get to the conspiracy of the movie. But when, and it's like the most mundane, simple sounds in the top level. Even like with a helicopter, there's a scene where he's talking to him and the helicopter's in the back. And even the helicopter sound is very blah. Mm-hmm. But once they start delving deeper into the, like the realms of their dreams, I guess, the sound becomes more lush and open. It's almost like the further you go down into your dreams, like the more real it becomes. Because I don't know if you remember, spoiler alert, but well, it's not really because the context is so crazy. But when he washed up on the beach for that final like level,
yeah,
and it was like his world or whatever, the sounds of the ocean and the buildings creaking was so like intricate compared to the other levels. Like it almost felt like that was the real level in a way.
And I'm watching Inception tonight.
Oh, dude.
I was going to say, I'm watching Lighthouse just because I want to hear that silence section again.
I do too. I want to blast Lighthouse so the silence really
should have sound. Constantly.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, go ahead.
More great sound design. Almost everything David Lynch has done.
Oh, Twin Peaks.
Eraserhead has some... weird. If you've never seen Eraserhead, watch that thing. That's weird.
You're gonna have to watch it like six times though, because
but
it's
the sounds
that is a movie.
Everything in Eraserhead is art. Oh, ridiculous. Yeah.
The sound, the baby, like the baby sounds. It sounds almost like a baby in the utmost pain, which I guess technically it is. Like I don't remember a lot from it.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, it's really bad. And then one I don't think that you've seen yet, Jose, but Dune is more of like his, well, science fiction-y, but like his...
magnum opus of science fiction, I guess. I don't know, but it's...
I haven't seen... I really want to see that, though.
That one's really, really cool. Cool sound design in that one as well. Very futuristic-y.
Mm.
Borderline Star Wars type stuff going on.
I absolutely love the sound in Twin Peaks. Like the foghorn.
Yes. Like
the
you almost hear it every episode.
I think... Or at least the ones I've seen. Mm-hmm. Like every episode's like... Or it's like throughout the episode. And the crazy thing is... It's jarring at first, but almost like you're getting used to
it. Oh, you'll get used to it. Living in Twin Peaks.
Living in Twin Peaks. And you hear it, and then you're like, oh, that's just the sound. You're so immersed in the story. But like the fact that it makes you used to the sound is just very, very much genius. Very much genius.
Mm-hmm.
But another...
possibly brainwashing, actually.
Ooh, I was actually watching... not watching. I was listening to a podcast, Duncan Trussell podcast, and he said something that spooked the crap out of me, like the poop, I'm sorry. But he was like, oh yeah, the way you can just edit these podcasts, and oh, I've threw so many subliminal messages in each of these podcasts, like it's insane. I'm like, what? And I'm like, why haven't I been doing it with Region Nerd Alert? It's like, man, that was a great episode of Region Nerd Alert. Man, I'm really craving Red Bull right now.
Does anybody want some LaCroix while I'm at it?
Like every episode.
Speaking of horror movies, sound design, Hereditary.
Mm.
Hereditary had like everyone like it trains you with a click to be it trains you to be terrified of a click, like just a.
Oh, that like, is.
Every time you hear it, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. And it's so stupid, but it's so effective.
I was going to say, that surprised me. Because she clicks like every couple times. I'm like, okay, that's going to be a jump scare later. But then something happens and I completely forget about
it. Oh, yeah.
And then the way they use the click, I'm like, okay, I was thoroughly surprised by the way they're... Like, I knew they were going to incorporate it because it was so like...
Yeah,
it stood out. Right. But I had no idea they were incorporated the way they did. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. You forget about it. That's the problem. Like, mm-hmm. They wait just long enough so you, like, you forget about it, and then when it hits you, it's like, that's a thing.
So, like, when you said the absence of sound is also almost as powerful as sound.
Yeah.
When that character crawls through the air, and there's no sound to it, just crawling through the air... Terrifying.
Yep.
Nothing changes in the sound, but this person literally comes off the wall and just starts crawling through the air, and there's no change in the sound. It's so scary.
Yeah. I'm gonna say, talking about a lack of sound in that movie, like when you, and that's another way that you can anticipate the jump scare is
the calm before the storm.
You have the person going through the silent room, and then. They don't even hide it. Like, plain sight is right in the corner. You see her, and then, you know, she's going through it, and you're like... And the thing is, she's sort of hidden, but if you stare at it for as long as they show it to you, you're
is
like...
Is it there? Is it not there? Is it
and
there?
You're like, oh, right there, right there.
Yep.
It's like, it brings a whole new meaning of like, he's right behind you. Right. Boom!
Yep. Run! He gon' kill you.
That was such a good movie. Man, that messed me up, dude. That movie messed me up.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like, it was a rough watch, man. I finished watching it. I was like, I don't know if I can sleep tonight.
Yeah, I didn't know.
This is the first time a movie has ever done this to me.
I always promise my mom when we watch scary movies, it's like, it's not that, like, crazy.
Yeah.
But I didn't really see that. I seen, like, a little bit of it, but I didn't see the whole movie. And, like, showing my mom the whole movie, I'm like, well, I'm sorry. Like, that was
terrifying.
Yeah, because I just caught the end of it at your house. I'm like, oh, I've seen the end. You've seen the whole movie, huh? But I was like, wow, that movie was
It
crazy.
Puts you in places.
Ugh. Yeah, that was a real rough watch.
I was going to say Midsommar during scenes as well. Mm-hmm. That was also a very rough watch.
Mm-hmm.
But
that whole opening section before they get to Sweden is, skip, let me get to just Sweden. I got the setup.
That's another aspect of sound. Well, not another aspect of sound, but in Midsommar, I guess it's a sound within it. But
it's another aspect of sound.
But it's not. It's diegetic, but it's also the actress doing it. Her crying scream is the, and I feel like they drop all other sounds. And they just have her crying scream.
Oh, when she finds out that the guy did the thing.
Yeah, and then they add like the big booming music over her scream, and her scream's so loud, the music has to be even louder for it. And like,
and then everyone else starts screaming in too, and it's.
Oh, that scene! Yeah,
oh,
where she does.
I got what scene you were talking about now.
Yeah, very beginning when they were introducing the seasons
in Hereditary, like when the mom is crying. Like,
oh,
after the thing happens, that is a visceral cry.
Ari Aster, stop making me endure these heart gut-wrenching screams.
That's one, you know, that's super big props to the actress, but my God, that cry was that hurt to listen to.
Ugh.
And usually movie cries are just like, oh, they're crying, all right. It's but this one was visceral. Like this one was like the gut crying.
And people are getting better at crying in these days.
Yeah.
Very good.
That hurt. It hurt to listen to.
But speaking of very jarring, very horrifying sounds, a game that came to mind was Bloodborne. And we like talking about blood porn on
Blood.
That's an edit out.
So Bloodborne.
On this podcast, we like talking about Bloodborne a lot, but Vicar Amelia?
The one that turns into the wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole sound design, the whole game is insanely great, but her specifically just, the way it's like a scream, but also like a howl. And it's crazy how it's like this. She turns into plot twist, or spoiler alert, she turns into this giant monster.
I like plot twist better.
I was gonna say the game's been out for 10,000 years.
she turns into this giant monster, but you've seen her like from a woman, and then she turns into this monster. And even if you didn't see that part, there's something about the howl and the scream of that monster that's human. Even though it's a monster, like, or whatever, mm-hmm. it's still so human. And it's painful because the way they incorporate, like, human sounds with just crazy monster sounds is just...
Stupid jump scares in Dark Souls 3. Mm. There's this area where you can hear chains rattling, so you know there's enemies afoot, right? You're in a prison. Stupid item in a corner of a stupid cell with no door on it. You walk in... The loudest.
That was really good.
The loudest screeching nails on a chalkboard scream in the world. Panic roll as far as I can. Nothing. Just a jump scare. Just a stab of a sound.
Yep. Mm.
I was so angry.
I will say, speaking of video games and very good sound design, and a video game you might not think of it for the sound design, Valorant. I don't know, you guys, I don't think you two have played
it.
No. But they just added a mode, Spike Rush, where you can pick up different power-ups. Like, they have the golden gun in there. Nice. And they have, like, different health regen or health decay. But another ability they added is Paranoia. And for a game, like, you've played CSGO, like right. Counter-Strike. It's an online multiplayer game. And part of it is being silent. Valorant, even more so than CSGO. So the whole game, like, there's a walking mechanic as opposed to running, as opposed to crouching. And there's this ability called Paranoia. And in your headphones, you get a little bit of tunnel vision, but in your headphones, you hear, like...
Footsteps behind you.
Yeah.
And you have to either ignore them, and they could be, like, that could give the other team, okay, free sprints everywhere. And you hear gunshots and distances, like, on points. Like, wait, are they on that point? Or are they on that? It's called Paranoia, and, like, it gives me so much paranoia. I get in a corner, I'm like, because at a game so heavily reliant on the sound to give you like a small power up that makes the other team feel that way
to hear stuff. That's super powerful.
But I gotta give them props. That was a really good aspect of the game that they
bring back some I guess non diegetic sound. Let's get the Payless Shoes cat noise that you and Tanya would would crack up.
It's just me being your clown up here, huh?
No, you got great sounds. I want.
And that is a cat with a fur ball stuck in his throat.
That's my favorite.
I got two games I want to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
One is Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice.
Okay.
The whole game is your character is going through psychosis. She's hearing voices constantly, and if you're not going to hear it unless you have headphones on, but if you have headphones on while you play this game, you'll hear the voices talking to you.
Oh, now that's
they'll give you
that's torture.
They'll give you advice whether it's good or bad. Like it's like kind of your it's kind of up to your discretion. Like, okay, yeah, I'm going to listen to this voice because some of them will be like behind you, like when you're in a fight, and there'll be a guy behind you.
Mm.
or you'll hear behind you, and you go to duck into nothing, and there's nothing behind you. It's just who you're fighting. So it's just it's the different voice, and they come from different spots. Like, if you got good enough headphones, they'll come from different spots.
That game's probably mad cheap by now. I'll probably pick that up.
Oh, more than likely.
I love how video games are, they have such a different realm than movies and more exploration like that, or yeah, like the Valorant sound. Like, to use that to make you even more immersed. Like, that's really cool.
The second one, and this is my favorite, like, giant sound, was the World Snake in God of War, the remake. Or, like, the not the remake, the continuation of God of War story, because when you get to when you actually find the World Snake, it comes up out of the thing, and it is such a booming noise. It's talking to you in like this ancient tongue, but it's such a booming noise.
You showed me that one time. It's insane.
Seriously, I had my surround sound on. I had it. It goes up to 100. I had it about 30, and the subwoofer was shaking the ground.
Man,
it was so. It was huge. It sounded huge.
The way that people can play with technology nowadays to get those lower frequencies. Like, I always think of Inception, because I feel like that was the first movie that really...
It's what really set the precipice.
Yeah, that bass drop.
Yep.
Boom.
Dude, that sound is in everything now.
It is.
It is in everything.
Everything. But,
to bring a madism into
it. That is absolutely a madism.
But with that... Thank you guys for joining me.
It's been an hour?
It's been an hour. Thank you for having me. It was one of my more enjoyable podcasts. I love talking this sort of stuff with you guys, you know.
It's great.
It's fun.
Really, really fun. We'll have to have more. But thank you guys for joining us in real life and also via the electrons moving through wires to reach the internet. However, the internet works.
Microwaves, man, they're microwaves.
Microwaves, yeah. But you've been listening to Region Nerd Alert. I'm Jose Rodriguez. To my left, we have
Mike, thick boy, three C's, three I's. Facebook, not Facebook, Instagram.
And to his left, we have
Olatho Allie. Instagram, Twitter. You can find me at Bandcamp, Olatho Von Allie. Don't forget the Vaughn.
All right. And with that, with post for this one, maybe I'll try to add some sound design tricks myself. Maybe some panning, you know?
I would definitely throw that sonic charge in there, because that is a sound that needs to be heard if you haven't heard it.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe I'll take the sounds, write them down, and then...
TIE Fighter Wilhelm scream.
All right. All right. But thank you guys for joining us. If you missed this episode and you're catching the tail end of it and you want to learn more about sound design, look on Spotify, Region Nerd Alert, or type in Region Nerd Alert to Google and we'll pop up. But till next time, I'm Jose. Thank you for joining us, and goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.